those two go together very nicely in terms of being able to, one, get macro level wide area network, really basically the best accuracy using cellular, down to aisle level using augmented or ancillary infrastructure.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the show today, I have Ed. Ed, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Ed Chow, CEO of Pulte. Where we're inventing the next generation global location system that's going to be based on 5G cellular, right? And we've invented this capability that we think is really going to transform industries. And I've been in this industry in wireless now for over 30 years and really happy about being at a startup that's really creating a platform that we believe is truly transformative for IoT.
You say you're a startup, so give me a little bit of background to the company itself. You know, how long you're in business, where you're based, what market you're servicing, how did you come into being?
Yeah, sure. So our founder, Russ Markowski, I met him about 5 years ago now, and he had been at this for almost 15 years, at that point, 10 years, and had amassed this large pile of patents, 75 patents and patents pending globally over that time. And we met when I had exited T-Mobile. The company I had worked for, MetroPCS, had been acquired by T-Mobile, and I had taken a little bit of time off and had met Russ. And he was trying to figure out how to bring this technology to market. And I had some great ideas at the time. And as we talked and developed that story together, and this concept and this window of opportunity around mobile IoT, where there was a promise to connect billions of low cost devices and connect them globally using cellular at a very cost efficient and very way, was something that was really, in our mind, something that could be really truly revolutionary. And that technology that Russ had created together with the team over the years was really fundamental, right? In that allowed mobile IoT to achieve the three things and keep the three things that it does really well: low cost, long battery, and ubiquitous coverage. And so what we realize is that the technology, if you are trying to create a tracker, like location, we felt was just fundamental for a lot of these use cases. And so we thought that instead of jamming GPS and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, you do all those three things, any of those things, you uncheck all three boxes of what mobile IoT promised to do.
Right.
You're increasing the cost, you're killing the battery, and you need all three to be able to work everywhere, right? Because GPS only works outdoors. Wi-Fi and Bluetooth generally only work either indoors or in personal areas. And so we had this thought that, you know what, why not just through a firmware upgrade to that mobile IoT device and in essence replace the need for all three, right? So now you've rechecked or maintain the check on all three boxes in terms of cost, battery life, and ubiquitous coverage indoors, outdoors, everywhere in between, globally. So that's really so about 2 years ago is in essence when Pulte got started in terms of bringing that technology to market.
Okay, and what market are you servicing?
So the markets are targeted primarily at enterprise. We have some partners that are also consumers. So we found that there's all these different use cases and industries just need to be able to find their stuff, their critical assets, and having better visibility real time to all the things that matter to them. Right. So in the case of enterprise, we found there's several amazing use cases where things like cell ID, which just wasn't good enough in terms of location accuracy, Wi-Fi, GPS, were beginning to make good inroads, but just didn't have the economics or the coverage that we can provide. And it started off with, you know what, there's just this core set of stuff that's just track and trace, right? You know, people just want to be able to find and be able to say, here's where my stuff is, whether that's for shipping and transportation, distribution, even to some extent on the supply chain side in various different industries. And so, but they were struggling being able to scale that beyond, say, just the truck, mm-hmm. right? So they're able to track the truck, and then they'll use barcode scanning or NFC or whatever it is to be able to identify the things that are on the truck. But then we realized, yeah, as we talked to the industry, that in reality, they want to be able to track the things that are on the truck, not just the truck. Yeah. But they only compromise just tracking the truck because that's what the technology could do, because GPS could see the sky. And so the use case here is really about extending that capability from the truck down to the things that are on the truck and everything in between, from the distribution centers to the trucks themselves to the final destination, whether that's retail or another distribution center or staging area. And you can apply that across all industries, right? And all across all sorts of different assets. So generally speaking, at the highest level, it's the next generation asset management and track and trace and supply chain management systems that we're seeing are really surfacing as amazing use cases.
Okay. You mentioned at the start, 5G, is that necessary for this?
Yeah. So the definition of 5G is interesting. So what we're typically hearing about is 5G NR, right? So this is the new radio, wide, super gigabit Ethernet, data rates that are going to allow you to have virtual reality at baseball, football stadiums during the Super Bowl, right? And but you've also seen the other half of that, right? Besides, high speed data and all these really amazing capabilities that require low latency and critical infrastructure. The other half of that equation is something called 5G massive IoT, right? And the IMT 2020 standards that were defined by Europe, the European ITU group, this global group actually, called for also being able to support billions of devices at much higher densities, lower cost, longer battery life, massive numbers in the same footprint as cellular, right? So it's a very different problem that they were solving than 5G NR. So it's these buckets of standards that are now called NB-IoT and LTE-M, or sometimes called Cat-M, that are in this mobile IoT space that's defined by the GSMA as such, which actually is 5G compliant, right? So it's fundamentally 5G and what we are terming 5G massive IoT. That is the other half of 5G that we're focused on. And then we also have technology around 5G NR, which we can talk about it maybe another time, but our real focus right now coming to market is around that 5G massive IoT and continuing to check all three of those boxes on cost, battery life, and ubiquitous coverage.
So will it work places where 5G is not yet rolled out, where you've got 3G or 4G towers?
So those 3G, 4G, 4G towers, the 4G towers themselves are forward compatible with those IDs, right? Those standards. So 5G massive IoT sits in between and cradles the leverages between 4G and 5G. People like to talk about 5G, so we tend to put it in that kind of brand. But at the end of the day, it's really just a software upgrade to the 4G networks.
Right.
So NB-IoT will sit in the guard band, sometimes in band, using the same exact hardware that's out there. Right. So it's a very straightforward upgrade for mobile network operators. And you can go to the GSMA website and you can see that NB-IoT has been deployed pretty much globally now. And then there's something called LTE-M, which is a much more full featured capability. So think of NB-IoT. It's really good. I'm going to show my age a bit here. It's in essence the next generation two-way paging. Right? It's really, really low bit rate, primarily for stationary type use cases, call them smart cities and smart meters and things like that. Works great for that. But now if you want to go to things that are more full featured, such as mobility or even voice over LTE capabilities that allow you to kind of take things to a next level. So if you have if you want to send files like video, or being able to enable this device to be able to be augmented with other things that are in the cloud, you're going to want to have a little better, more capability. And that's what LTE-M does. And that's actually our key focus, right? So being able to do asset management and asset tracking, mobility on the back of a truck, together with the improved extended range, together with the better power, all of this makes for an amazing, what we think is a real hotspot of technology capabilities that come together that really need a lot of great use cases. And so that's what we've really been focusing on, is enabling that backwards compatible 4G version of 5G massive IoT.
Okay, interesting. Triangulating someone's position based on cell tower technology has never been really, really accurate. Let me ask, what kind of location accuracy are we talking about with your solution?
Yeah, so there's two ways to think about that. We have the ability to get down to sub 10 meters, right? But how do we get there? There's several steps of how we see ourselves getting there. The first step is just reusing the existing cellular infrastructure as is. And what that does is reduces the time to market and time to ROI for enterprises, so because they don't have to go deploy infrastructure, right? They can just get a SIM, put it into their device, off they're going. They have an immediate ROI because they can put that tracker on their pallet, in their package, on their leased asset, right? Or what we all call today sharing economy, right? They can get immediate ROI by leveraging existing cell towers. And that's going to depend on the cell tower density, right? So the more towers that you see, the more accurate it gets. Our field tests have shown anywhere between 50 to 100 meters of accuracy in typical use cases that go from dense urban to suburban. And then as you go to rural, it becomes less because it's less accurate because the cell towers are just wider. But if you think about that, that's probably going to be good enough for most use cases that are about asset tracking, right? If I just need to know that this thing's in transit on a highway in the rural area, that's typically all that most use cases are going to care about. But for all the other areas, such as suburban down to dense urban, we're able to, in essence, get you down to building level accuracy, which allows you to then get to the address and whether or not that thing, the object itself is at the distribution center, even some parts of the distribution center, because they can be really large. Certain parts of a campus environment, whether it's manufacturing facilities or the like, or if it's on the road and then at a distribution center along the way to its final destination. So being able to have that real-time visibility indoors, outdoors, everywhere in between is really what we see as the magic of what we do and beyond just, I know that you're in this city, or I know that, which is what Cell ID can do today, where GPS, you don't get any, if you put this tracker in a box or in a pallet, basically, you get nothing because they never get the line of sight of the sky.
Yeah.
So that's what we're really excited about. Then the second piece would be what we call multi-local, where you can use, if we can augment the cellular and existing cellular infrastructure with local infrastructure, whether those are small LTE or 5G small cells or beacons. So these low-cost beacons, for instance, they can get down into the couple $100 range. Instead of having to deploy, say, 5 to 10,000 Bluetooth beacons, right? You can deploy half a dozen LTE or 5G massive IoT beacons or small cells, right? To be able to get down to that sub 10 meter accuracy inside a warehouse or at a campus or whatever it might be. So those two go together very nicely in terms of being able to, one, get macro level wide area network, really basically the best accuracy using cellular, down to aisle level using augmented or ancillary infrastructure.
So that's where people are rolling out basically their own LTE networks within their own facilities.
Yeah, so you can either, so a lot of companies are already making that decision even before they've considered Pulte, right? So just leveraging that small cell infrastructure that people are beginning to move forward with, especially here in the US, there's just a lot of that. We see signs of it in Europe as well as in Asia. So that's great. But then we're starting to see, because the price points of these beacons have come down to a level of hundreds of dollars as opposed to thousands of dollars small cell, they're starting to realize, hey, we can use this just for location because it's cheap enough for us to be able to get that level of accuracy, and the need for that accuracy is there, right? So it's, you can go at it either way, leverage existing LTE infrastructure that's going to be there for communication purposes, replace Wi-Fi or whatever it is that you're trying to do on a campus. Or we're starting to see, because the price points are coming down, people just deploying that infrastructure because of the location capability.
Nice. You also had an announcement last week about Pulte Proximity. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. Very excited about that announcement, the launch of Pulte Proximity, which is an IoT-based enterprise social distancing and contact tracing solution. What it does is it allows enterprises to help get help together with their employees get back to work safely. Right, we've all talked about we've talked to a number of our customers and our partners you know, about the asset management capability that we have, and what more critical asset that you have other than your employees, right? So as we talked to our existing customers and partners, you know, they were asking us, is there any way to apply your technology and your platform to help us solve this other problem? Because, you know, downloading an app to a cell phone just wasn't something that they were able to do for lots of different reasons. You know, they're, you know, the employees didn't want to have, you know, something tracking them on their personal cell phone or whatever it might be. And so the Pulte Proximity allows, at the high level, employees and employers to be both engaged in the process of being able to get back to work safely by allowing us to have a dedicated IoT device that's Pulte location enabled, that has a proximity sensor built into it, together with our location technology to allow you to identify the locations of the exposure events, so that one, employees are informed about things, but then also employers can take have more transparency and take action, proactive action, to ensure that their employees are safe as well.
Okay, interesting. Very topical, obviously. The guidelines are talking about a 2-meter distancing typically between employees. So does that mean it needs kind of the beacons that you talked about before to be several of them within a particular facility to allow this to take place?
Yeah, so this is completely infrastructureless. So that's the other key thing here. So there's no need for infrastructure. Just like I was saying earlier, you're just connecting to the cell network to be able to provide connectivity. And so what these are doing is they're going to have a proximity sensor built into them. And some of the initial ones that our partners are using is they're using BLE to do that local proximity sensing. Okay. And yes, 2 meters or 6 feet has been the CDC here in the US guidelines for social distancing, for people to keep in mind. But the reality of it is it's about exposure, right? And so it's not about necessarily knowing only when you're 6 feet. It's also knowing when you're in a room that's small and with one or even more people for too long, mm-hmm. right? So at the end of the day, it's about risk of exposure, right? So 6 feet is a great way to teach people about what exposure is, because, you know, what we found and what the studies have shown is that as much as we think, you know, we're really good at spatial awareness, you know, I keep telling my wife how great I am about that because I never need a map. We're really actually not that good at it, right? To know and to subconsciously always be on top of knowing that I'm at least 6 feet away from others. But also, even if I'm 6 feet or even 20 feet away from someone in a small room for 3 hours, right? It's hard to kind of keep track of that, right? And so having these sensors worn by together, say with your ID badge or on your belt, it's just a great way to kind of train employees that you're being exposed, right? And yeah, you know, maybe just play a small warning, a quiet beep to say, look out, right? Take a look, you know, wake up, look around. And then you can set policy to say, you know what, if you've been in the room for too long and you're above the policy level of I've been in this room for more than an hour or even 30 minutes with one person or even three people or even one person, play an alert that then requires the employee to press a button, right? To acknowledge that they've received this alert, right? And then, so it's different levels of escalation of training, but then also now allowing the corporation, the enterprise, to have visibility without having to have someone in every room monitoring people, right? And so this really that's what we mean by empowering employees to be part of that solution of coming back to work, because we think that this may not be generally applicable to every company, but we think there's a lot of companies so far that we've talked to where they think this is great. This is going to give them a platform to be able to work with their employees, crowdsource the risk, you know, the exposure of that risk, and get back to work together.
Cool. That sounds great. We're coming towards the 20-minute mark, coming towards the end of the podcast now. Is there anything, Ed, that I have not asked you or anything that I've not brought up that you think would be, you know, good for people to be aware of?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to speak to your audience. It's a great podcast and I've always been a great fan. So really honored to have a chance to be able to speak about Pulte with you all. And again, the general message is we've come to market. And we'd love to help you find all the things that matter using our core asset management platform, whether those are for supply chain, cold chain, distribution, shipping and transportation use cases across multiple industries. And so we're inviting your listeners to come partner with us and prove in use cases that can help you transform your business in such a critical time when transformation is going to be critical. And then number two is for Pulte proximity. If you see that this is something that's one of the use cases that we're enabling with our asset management platform, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear about you and hear from you and see what we can do to help you get back to work safely.
Sure. You're based out of Texas. Personally, I know we talked about that before I turned on the recorder, but where's the company? Is it headquartered in Texas and global or US only, or how does all that work out?
Yep. Our beachhead market here is in the US, but we are global. So our headquarters is here in the northern burbs of Dallas. And we have employees, we're just like everybody nowadays, we have employees around the US in Austin, California, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. But we also have a general manager for our in an office in the UK for international, as well as some folks in Japan. So we are looking to scale globally over the course of the next year. But again, the beachhead here is we've come to market here in the US, and the plans to scale globally over the course of the next year to 2 years.
Excellent. And if people want to know more about Ed or about Pulte, where would you have me direct them?
Just go on over to Pulte.com, where we have at our website, where we have a lot more background on the technology, the use cases that we're enabling, how to work with us, as well as information about the team, and as well as the developer portals for when you come on board. So a lot of good information there.
Excellent. Ed, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the show.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.